Good morning. This is Trace Blue, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling, and we'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for December 14th, 2021. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Peter Parker.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Peter, I need you to go out and get me pictures of Spider-Man.
Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Chip, did you make it to the movie theater this week?
I did not make it to the theater. I was traveling. I had lots of miles behind me, Steve. And I was going to go to the theater to see West Side Story, although I listened to the soundtrack a few times. Mm-hmm. But time marches on very quickly during this December month.
This is a challenging period of time. After Thanksgiving, before Christmas, I don't have a lot of time. There's a lot of things happening at school, a lot of things happening. We're putting together our winter musical, Chip, for the first time in 2 years. So yeah, this has been a busy time. I did not make it to the theater either, but both of us got a chance to watch live in front of a studio audience the ABC special where they took the all-star cast and recreated an episode of The Facts of Life and Different Strokes from the late 70s, early 80s.
And I'm wondering, is this is Jimmy Kimmel's brainchild, right? This is to take Norman Lear, one of the great producers, and recreate the scripts, you know, as they were presented with you know, today's actors, I would say.
And a little bit of today's sensibilities too, a little bit of modification. I enjoyed this to no end, my friend.
Well, the world don't move to the beat of just one drum, Steve.
Okay, I know that you don't watch television. I know that television was not a part of your lifestyle growing up. But for me, I watched the heck out of Facts of Life and Different Strokes. I
did too, Steve.
Did you?
I grew up watching The Facts of Life and Different Strokes. Absolutely.
What
you talking about, Willis?
Okay, so let's talk about
I know who part. Joe and Blair are.
Let's talk about the actors who performed these roles in this special. Anne Dowd as Mrs. Garrett did just an absolutely pitch perfect Charlotte Ray impression. I was so impressed with Anne Dowd.
Well, and in fact, there's the point of this. Mrs. Garrett, mm-hmm. Yeah. She is, what is it? The conscious of The Facts of Life. And she also, you know, was a player in Different Strokes. So she was actually in both of these sitcoms, right. But really becomes like the, you know, like, oh, this is not the right thing to do, girls. And all of a sudden the girls have their revelation at some point.
It was that kind of sitcom for sure. Now, don't forget, The Facts of Life was a spinoff of Different Strokes. So Mrs. Garrett was the one character that got the spinoff. And that's yes. How we got The Facts of Life.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that, Steve. That was before Dana Plata joined, right?
Yes.
And by the way, they did. I think all of the actors except for Todd mm-hmm. Bridges had passed away, right?
Yeah, and so he was the one that came out on stage and introduced the Different Strokes episode, and he's doing well from that minute that he was on stage. He's the only surviving actor from Different Strokes.
Well, in fact, that's a tragedy. Many of the actors struggled after being, I don't know, young people on television. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that also happened to some of the Facts of Life, although Tootie, I don't know what her real name is, but she thanked Norman Lear for showing up in some kind of movie that she had just produced. So, I mean, obviously they have their time on the spotlight and then they go on with the regular part of their life.
Yeah, Kim Fields has done so much acting. She's done so well.
That's Tootie. That's Kim Fields.
Yes, she is. Yes.
I don't know these real people in the real life, Steve. I only know what they play on television.
There are actually actors that portray these characters, Chip. I know that for the last 8.5 years, when we bring up a character or an actor, you think of them as certain characters that they played. But yes, actually, Kim Fields is an actual person who walks around on Earth, and she has done lots of work and made so many different TV shows and movies over the years. And yeah, getting Norman Lear to be in her movie was a big deal. Norman Lear is turning 100 years old next July, and he was there for Live in Front of a Studio Audience, and he got bleeped for using an offensive term at the beginning in the introduction.
Well, of course, of course. And you know, the other nice thing is that there are a lot of other people you're very familiar with who get to play different parts. I saw Rachel Green. She plays Blair, Steve.
Yeah, yes, Chip. Jennifer Aniston was playing Blair. I got to tell you that I was not as impressed with Jennifer Aniston as Blair. I didn't buy it. I was just seeing Jennifer Aniston because she is so well known. But Catherine Hahn as Jo blew me away. I think she was the best actor on the screen for this special.
I think so, too. And let's make sure we're very clear that the actors who were part of this, they're just well-known actors. This is there to have a hoot, to have a good time. And they don't necessarily have to be those characters. And what I mean by that is they're not age appropriate and stuff like that. You know, Kevin Hart gets to play, you know, Arnold. I wonder if Kevin Hart will be on Avenue Q. That would be his next move, right?
That would be interesting to see for sure. The behind the scenes story of that is this is all Jimmy Kimmel's idea, and he actually asked Kevin Hart to do this 5 years ago, and it took 5 years to get their schedules together so that Kevin Hart could portray 8-year-old Arnold on Different Strokes, and it was brilliant.
And then you have one of the Wayans brothers,
Damon. And
of course, you have Snoop Dogg, because yes. Snoop Dogg, Steve.
The secret special guest was Snoop Dogg portraying just a bit player in the Different Strokes story. And he's not a great actor, Chip.
He wasn't there because of his acting chops, Steve. Great actors, well, you got to have Jason Bateman.
Well, Jason Bateman and Will Arnett showed up on The Facts of Life in terrible wigs, in very 80s clothing, and just being ridiculous and silly. In fact, Will Arnett cracked up Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart was announced as a special guest, and he's not the best actor either, sir.
Steve, if you want to have a lunch with Blair, I think it costs you about $25. And what did we learn at the end, Steve? That Jon Stewart's character, even though he wore braces. Think about that. Every kid now at your middle school has braces.
Uh-huh.
But Jon Stewart at that time was traumatized with his braces. He has a lot in common with Blair, Steve.
When you get past the
braces. And the fancy food is croissants, Steve. Think about our world at that time and what we thought was exotic.
Mm-hmm.
Your children would never think croissants are exotic, would they?
And that's where I think that this presentation, even though it was perfect for me, it was certainly pointed directly at the Gen Xer, pointed directly at the middle-aged person who watched these programs and the nostalgia factor. My children, I don't think my children would watch this, and I don't think that they would enjoy it. I don't think that the comedy...
It's not for them.
I agree. So,
although it is a study of how to put together a show, we don't... In fact, that's the other... I'm gonna back up and go to a conversation I had with my office mate. And he watches a lot of MeTV, and what he likes about it, and he's got young kids, is that there is a wholesomeness to it between the Little House on the Prairie and the Waltons. and Happy Days and Facts of Life and so on. You know, there would be once in a while, there would be a very special story about something on different strokes. But really, there was always like this moral that was being said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Arnold is upset because he's afraid of losing his brother. The dad figure in it, John Lithgow, continues to remind him that, you know, not wanting to be with someone sometimes doesn't mean you don't love them. You know, think about the messaging in this. This wasn't like, I'm cutting him out of my life, you know, although they divide the room and all that other stuff.
Oh, that sitcom stereotype thing, the dividing the room. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But the reality is it's usually tied up in some kind of truth, you know, give a person the benefit of the doubt, be kind to the person, recognizing that, you know, Willis needs his space.
Yeah.
And he's growing up. The idea is to show, I don't know, to teach a family how to be a family. I mean, we're the products of that, Steve. Our kids are, you know, as adjusted as many kids could be, but a lot of that comes from, I don't know, the moral compass of that time, which is missing in many of the television series out there. Mm-hmm. We're constantly moving to gray area and testing norms and trying to demonize the group that doesn't believe exactly how you believe. But during those, you know, there's less programs out there. They have to appeal to a larger audience. It looks like they were, you know, trying to work within, this is a way a family should talk about things. Yeah. And this is how a family should address Willis growing up and needing his space. You know, there was a message there that certainly maybe universal or trying to be universal.
I agree with you completely that the sitcoms of the late 70s and early 80s focused on family in a way that those earlier sitcoms also did, the Little House on the Prairies and the My Three Sons, and the focus on family and morals. And a lot of that's been turned on its head in the 21st century. The idea that the superheroes have perhaps a dark side to them, that examining that dark side is more important than the, you can be amazing, you can be super, you can follow these moral paths.
And there you go. You know, rewriting different strokes for today's audience. Mr. Drummond would have some, you know, we'd find out that he, I don't know, somehow was the cause of Willis's and Arnold's mother's death. Mm-hmm. And there was some, you know, motive to get them to live with them. And Mrs. Garrett has some kind of, you know, undid something going on.
Some demon, yeah, in her past. Yeah.
So everybody, and they're going, well, it's more complicated. Well, yeah, everything is much more sophisticated in the sense of the stories are deeper. But the reality is that these were stories that still had a messaging, mm-hmm, but it was much more, you know, by the dots, by the rule book of it. Yeah. And that's kind of refreshing to kind of revisit that.
The escapism of those stories, plus that moral at the end, that lesson that we should learn as viewers, that is refreshing. I enjoyed this to no end.
See, what you need is a little Boys to Men to kind of get your theme song.
Yes.
Theme song.
The singing of the Different Strokes theme by Boys to Men and the singing of the Facts of Life theme by Lisa Welchel were wonderful. They made me smile.
And so Lisa was the original Blair.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. I really enjoy this a lot. In fact, I would recommend these to anybody. If you've got a streaming service, I use YouTube TV. You can actually put this, what is the name of it, live in front of a studio audience, and it'll give you all the years going by. All and three. You can revisit.
Third one. Yep.
But what we missed, which I didn't know I missed because I watched a recording of it, was all the fake commercials that were going on in between them. So not only did they have the show here, but it also encouraged you to watch the commercials because they were all made specifically for this presentation.
Yes, Ryan Reynolds' production company made some fake retro commercials and put them into the commercial breaks, and they were brilliant. Alfonso Ribeiro was the star of most of them, except for the specifically Ryan Reynolds-based gin commercials, which were so funny. If you were watching this without commercials, you missed out on that part of the comedy. This is something that we talked about with the Annie Live, where the commercials really interrupted the flow of the Broadway show. But a sitcom from the 70s and 80s was built for commercials. So the brilliant people put in these fake retro commercials. One with Bob Vila presenting.
Well, the Kool-Aid Man wasn't very happy, Steve.
Kool-Aid Man is one of my favorite jokes in class. I have a Kool-Aid Man in class. Whenever a kid says, "Oh yeah," I go, "Thanks, Kool-Aid Man."
And he kept saying, "Oh yeah," but always as a sad "oh yeah." And in addition, you know, the Heinz ketchup being extra slow who can out, you know, wait for it to make the drip on your hamburger, and the lady who had the hamburgers as shoulder pads, which was Jack pretty awesome. Box.
Jack in the Box shoulder pads that were hamburgers. Yes, I love
they get on the air, the elevator is like, "What smells so good?" I'll never tell.
Again, nostalgia. All of that stuff was nostalgic to us because we knew the original, you know, "It's Morning Again in America," and then it turns into a gin commercial with Ryan Reynolds. These were brilliant. We do have them in our show notes. You should click on those commercials if you watch this on a streaming service that took out the commercials.
And bravo for the networks doing fun stuff like this. Jimmy Kimmel certainly should be commended. This is great television. This is event television and things that people want to watch. Like I said, I'm not sure if a younger person would enjoy it because they certainly, this was not part of their youth. But for someone like me revisiting this time, yeah, there was something enjoyable about it. Truly, truly. And then seeing a guy who's 99 years old. You know, how awesome is that?
It was awesome.
Norm Lear is 99. Next year, he'll be 100 years old.
Mm-hmm. I encourage everybody to watch this, even my young students. If you're studying stage work, this is a study in how to put on a live program. This was hard work to get this on the air, and I applaud them for the joy that it brought me.
Well, it's the facts of life, Steve.
Well, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. Opening this week, we've got Spider-Man No Way Home. No one has heard about this movie. It is a special surprise. Spider-Man No Way Home, the third of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies.
I have a feeling this will be the top grossing film of the year. Wow. By far. Spider-Man is a $1 billion character, if not more a year now. This is from a long time ago. Certainly, Spider-Man is worth probably as much as Star Wars now.
I don't disagree with that. I see many Spider-Man costumes and shirts and sweatshirts around my school. Spider-Man is that character because he's a young person. My young students really understand Spider-Man on a different level.
Well, you know, for those who are not familiar who Spider-Man is, great powers, great responsibility, right, Steve? This is a medical drama. There are lots of doctors in it. Dr. Strange, Dr. Octopus, any number of other doctors.
And Dr. Pepper, Doctor Who.
Yeah, lots of doctors in this, Steve. So for those who really love medical dramas or science in general, there you go. You're going to love Spider-Man.
There's a lot of science behind Doctor Strange for sure.
And Marissa Tomei, one of my favorites.
Uh-huh. Aunt May, the best. I'm going to go ahead and say the best Aunt May ever. Marissa Tomei is amazing.
Well, you know, Steve, she moved on from Vinny.
What's a ute? I look forward to this one. I have gone not a full media blackout on this one, but I am not watching the trailer. I do have tickets for this movie for Thursday night. First showing on Thursday night, I will be watching this movie so as to avoid all the spoilers.
All right. And for those who go to the theater and say, you know, I'm not going to watch a Spider-Man film, there are other good films out. This one looks pretty good. Looks like kind of a creepy film, Steve.
Yes. The latest film by Guillermo del Toro is Nightmare Alley. This looks award-winning. This looks like one of those films that you release in December because you think that it's one of the best things that's out there. It's got Willem Dafoe, Kate Blanchett, Bradley Cooper. This looks phenomenal. I think I would actually enjoy this Guillermo del Toro movie. I'm not a big fan of Guillermo del Toro. He's a little weird for my taste, and that says something, but this one looks
weird. That does say something, Steve.
This one looks weird enough, dark enough, and interesting, intriguing. Nightmare Alley.
Well, there you go, Steve. That's not the only creepy film out there.
Yes, we've got Maggie Gyllenhaal directing The Lost Daughter. This stars Olivia Colman, she's in everything, Dakota Johnson, Peter Skarsgård, and Ed Harris. This is some of those dark thinking about going on vacation.
Taking your children on vacation, potentially having them abducted.
Yeah.
There is some story going on there. We're not really sure what it is. It is based on a book, so that would mean you'd have to read it. Uh-huh. But if you want to watch it in the theater this Friday, it'll be on Netflix later on this month.
Yep. That one looks like on the list of award-winning films as well.
Steve, what if you wanted to work out and watch a film?
Well, there's The Novice that's coming out. This is the obsessive thinking of being the top of your sport. This is the rowing movie. This young lady really wants to be the top of her sport, and she goes to extremes to try to make that happen.
And they're not going to do it on a montage, Steve.
It's just a montage. It's a two-hour montage.
Yeah, but there's not the inspiring film. There's just lots of sweat and lots of blood, and your hands are, you know, not feeling very well. So this one is for those types of people. Steve, you know what? HBO Max has something for us, maybe based on a book that we read earlier.
That's right. We've been talking about this for a year now. HBO Max is finally rolling out Station 11, the 10-episode limited series. The first three episodes are coming out on December 16th. After that, two episodes will premiere weekly on Thursdays through January. Station 11 was one of those books that we read on sandwiches at irregular hours.
Steve, you know, anytime there's a world civilization falling apart, and they're going to get stuck in an airport, you got to have a story.
Pamela Bedore will be there.
Steve, you know what? Some of us need to go beyond.
Boldly?
Where we need to be. To go boldly beyond. And you know what? What if you were, you know, a captain?
You could go into space. William Shatner went into space.
William Shatner in space on Amazon.
When William Shatner went into space on a Wednesday, it was very exciting. And then he came to Chicago on a Sunday and got a photo with Steve Fodor, and it was very exciting. And now there's a documentary coming to Amazon Prime called Shatner.
About Shatner meeting Steve? Oh, my goodness.
Cameras were rolling. Let's just put it that way. Shatner in Space, the one-hour documentary about William Shatner going up in the Blue Origin capsule with Jeff Bezos. Capsule? With Jeff Bezos. This is how Jeff Bezos can capitalize on the fame of this space tourism. We're in a space tourism era now.
And you can watch that on Amazon Prime.
Really shocking on Jeff Bezos's Amazon Prime. Huh.
Steve, he's no longer CEO.
Yeah, right. He's the driver. He drives the car to the rocket now. Michael Strahan and Laura Shepherd Churchley went up on Saturday. And yeah, Jeff Bezos is the driver now.
Book it. Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You know, speaking of people that I admire, speaking of people that are getting up there in age, Mel Brooks is 95 years old and he's still doing it, still being the amazing writer, thinker, comedian that he's always been.
Well, you know, he is one of the great comedians, comedic writers, movie comedy writers. How do we want to say this, Steve? He's been around forever. I think he was around when Abraham Lincoln was walking this earth.
History of the World Part One. The Lincoln. There's no Lincoln scene in that movie. Mr. Lincoln, I don't think you should go see that musical. Would pay money for that. What I did pay money for this week, however, was to read his autobiography. It's called All About Me! ! My Remarkable Life in Show Business. Mel Brooks published this autobiography this week, and I read the heck out of it. It is a very good autobiography. He is the character that you think he is. Mel Brooks is that guy who's always on, always thinking comedically and giving us something to think about while he's telling a joke.
Certainly he is the lovable man out there. I mean, didn't he have lunch with Carl Reiner?
Yeah.
For like every day for like 50 years?
Every day. He and Carl Reiner. In this book, he describes the two people in his life that were the loves of his life. First was his wife, Anne Bancroft. He just absolutely adored her and was really, really broken when she passed away. And the second was Carl Reiner. He loved Carl Reiner and had lunch with him every day, worked with him. They worked together so well. The 2,000-year-old man is such a brilliant piece of comedy based on that relationship between Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. Carl Reiner would ask Mel Brooks these questions, and Mel Brooks would give such beautiful improv comedy that made so much sense because he was trying to make Carl Reiner laugh. Carl Reiner virtually never laughed at anything Mel Brooks did on stage because he was trying very hard not to. And that conversation between those two people kept going through, you know, decades and decades of their lives.
Isn't that wonderful? Because what you end up having is, you know, you want to have your soulmate. You find, say, your spouse or the person that you're enjoying with. But, you know, the also surrounding yourself with friends. Mm-hmm. And many of our friends are where we work because they inspire us to perform at a higher level. They inspire, they understand our weaknesses and they kind of help out a little bit with those areas. But really, they're the measuring stick. So if Mel Brooks is trying to get Carl Reiner to laugh, we know that both of them are brilliant comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get them to laugh, there's a good chance that it's funny.
The idea of working with someone that you love and trying to give them the joy in order to make that joy happen in the audience works really well, both with Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and somebody like, you know, Jim Henson and Frank Oz. The two of them worked so well together, trying to make each other happy in order to make the audience laugh.
Well, in fact, that they're going back to the Get Back, the Peter Jackson series that's out there. It is a masterclass on creativity. Mm-hmm. And think about what Lennon McCarthy, how they worked together and how they worked with each other and sort of inspired each other to create what, you know, these great songs and things of that nature. And then how they expanded that and they worked with George Harrison and Ringo Starr and how they came together as a group. Mm-hmm. We're not working in isolation. We're working together and we all want to be better versions of ourselves. How wonderful.
And that's where the Mel Brooks autobiography is wonderful because it is all about me. Mel Brooks is a very gregarious character.
A little bit, Steve. He's kind of, you know, understated.
But he's never understated. But he does talk about his relationship with all of these other people that he worked with, including Richard Pryor. One of the things I was unaware of was Richard Pryor was supposed to be both Sheriff Bart in Blazing Saddles and Josephus in The History of the World Part One. The studio decided that they didn't want Richard Pryor on the marquee because he was too controversial at the time.
And was he really?
Oh boy, you think Richard Pryor was controversial?
I get you on that part, but Richard Pryor showed up on Saturday Night Live the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, and there's controversial, but still the ability to get on network television.
Yes, you're right, but he was a person who was stating things that maybe some people didn't want to hear, especially about race relations, and the idea of Blazing Saddles being about racism, anti-racist as it is, having Richard Pryor there, the studio decided was too much for them. History of the World Part One, he was supposed to play Josephus, but that was the time when he injured himself, setting himself on fire when he was under the influence of illegal drugs. And so,
well, if only he had Nancy Reagan there to guide him.
Just say no, Richard. Just say no. So he was not available for History of the World Part One. So that changed that movie radically as a result. As well, a couple of other things that I was unaware of: Mel Brooks always wanted to be a drummer. He wanted to use the stage name Brooklyn, which was his mother's maiden name, and
Brooklyn.
That was his mother's maiden name, was Brooklyn, and so he went to write Brooklyn out on his drum and ran out of room, added an S, and the rest was history. That's how he came up with the name Mel Brooks. Yes, sir. Isn't that interesting? Trying to be as New York as possible and name yourself Brooklyn, and he ran out of room on the drum, and that's
what was his real name.
Melvin Kaminsky is his given name, and
oh, there we go.
That's a very Jewish New York name, and he decided it was too Jewish. He was going to make himself into something different for his stage name, and he wanted to be called Brooklyn.
Well, there you go, Steve. I'll become, you know, Peter Parker.
You already did. That's what you introduced yourself at the beginning of the show. That is now canon. You are now Peter Parker.
With great power, Steve, comes great responsibility.
That's right. Thanks,
Uncle Ben. There's a message there, Steve.
Thanks, Uncle Ben. Can you make me some rice? Mel Brooks's production company, Brooks Films, was responsible for so many more films and more than I knew about. Mel Brooks himself produced many more smash hits, but he wanted to keep his name off of them because of his history of comedy. When people saw the name Mel Brooks associated with the film, they would expect a certain level of comedy. So he produced some great films and kept his name off of them.
You know what he didn't produce, Steve? Star Trek. He didn't produce Star Trek. That was Lucy, Steve.
And she kept her name off of it. She did not say Lucille Ball presents Star Trek. But she was the money behind that. He was the producer on The Elephant Man, the very interesting David Lynch 1980 film.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's certainly art house movie right there.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, David Cronenberg's The Fly in 1986. So he was the brains behind these creatives getting their weird art house movies out. The award-winning 84 Charing Cross Road, he produced that one. And I found out reading this autobiography that my favorite year from 1982, the Peter O'Toole story, is not actually about Peter O'Toole. It's actually about Mel Brooks. It is an autobiographical story of Mel as a young writer on the Sid Caesar TV show in 1954. I did not know that.
Steve, this quote that you put in our notes is just hilarious because, you know, he is so understated in so many ways, such a mild man, so humble.
Yeah, the quote from My Favorite Year, he actually gave this quote to the Peter O'Toole character. "I am not an actor, I'm a movie star." That's the story of Mel Brooks. He is not an actor, he's a movie star. And brilliant. This autobiography is absolutely a brilliant look at a brilliant life. It begins a little slowly with the beginnings of his life. He feels, I think, that he has to explain his birth and his background. And then he gets into the list of all of his movies and going movie by movie and what he accomplished in his life. And I love everything that Mel Brooks has given us.
Well, he's got, I don't know, another, 5 years, 10 years left, Steve.
Jeez. That went dark real fast, Chip. I think that Mel Brooks will live forever because of the work that he has given us. I think that my Blu-ray copy of all of these movies will be watched for a very, very long time. So that's All About Me, My Remarkable Life in Show Business by Mel Brooks.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. Chip, is there any sad news to report this week?
There is. For all those people who grew up with the new Teen Titans and the Avengers and the Justice League, there was an artist that many people associate with these works, and that's George Perez. In fact, George Perez announced he has pancreatic cancer, and he's got less than a year to live. Art Baltazar, our friend and famous cartoonist, used George Perez's work as a basis for his Tiny Titans series that he released later, which my favorite thing Art said about that is that DC, who owns these characters, came to Art and said, "We own these characters?" And Art goes, "Yes." So all those female characters that you know about now, Art actually pointed out to DC that they actually own these characters. Art's inspiration, of course, was George Perez, this wonderful, gifted guy who always showed up at conventions and was just a gregarious, fun guy. But the shirts he wore were always these bowling shirts that his wife would sew for him that had all these cartoon patterns and stuff like that over him. He's just it's a sad part of life that, you know, eventually we're not going to be with us. But George is a person certainly inspired a whole generation of artists and a lot of readers.
So yeah, that is a sad story, thinking about the end of George Perez's life, but he's still with us for now. He's still inspiring people. That's amazing that he inspired Art Baltazar and so many other artists over the years. We applaud George Perez.
Steve, Hanukkah has ended.
Yeah.
Was there anything fun going on during these 8 nights?
You're the one who brings up music, Chip. This is not my story. You've shown us the way, Chip. You have found the Dave Grohl and Kirsten.
From the Foo Fighters, Steve. Foo Fighters.
Okay, so tell us about the Hanukkah sessions that Dave Grohl gave us over Hanukkah this year.
Well, this is a lovely gift that an artist has given the world. And what can you say? That there's a production value to them, but they're not too high, but high enough. And anyway, it's Dave Grohl and this Kirsten, basically, and Dave Grohl's daughter sings one of the songs. They basically do a bunch of covers of fun songs that you know, like Kiss songs and Billy Joel songs and Barry Manilow songs and Lisa Loeb songs, which is pretty funny too. But they released one a day. And they're playful. And if there's anything that the world needs more of, it's this idea of being playful. And I love this. This is exactly what the holiday season is supposed to be about. Stepping out of your day-to-day world and using your special talents to kind of make people feel good. Enjoy themselves.
I think that's our theme for this episode, is playfulness. Between The Facts of Life and Different Strokes and Mel Brooks and Dave Grohl, we've had some playful, interesting entertainment come out of the last few weeks.
Dave Grohl could have easily just not been an artist after Nirvana. He was the drummer for Nirvana.
Okay.
But he chose to kind of go forward and figure out, you know, how he wants to spend the rest of his days. He created this band called the Foo Fighters, which is a rock and roll band. They tour everywhere. That just something, you know, people just enjoy going to the concerts. I don't personally see anything so over the top and special about their music, but if you wanted to go into a rock concert, have a great time, you know you're going to have it with going to this. And they're a really big rock band. I mean, one of the big ones. To get back from tours and sit down and kind of put together this playful session.
Experience.
And have fun. Why not? Why not enjoy your time?
There you go. You can enjoy your time tonight with the Mads are back. They are riffing the worst movie of all time, Manos, The Hands of Fate. Go to themadsareback.com for your tickets. I really encourage our audience to support Trace and Frank and what they've been doing with this live stream all throughout the pandemic, being able to share that joy, being playful, watching a terrible movie with your friends. And in this case, your friend is the little girl from the movie. Jackie Naaman Jones is joining them for the Manos Hands of Fate live stream tonight.
Should you have some baked treats that come in a box, Steve? Some Little Debbie treats?
Not that Little Debbie, a different Little Debbie.
She's the hostess with the mostess.
No.
Little Debbie had the oatmeal with the cream in it.
2021 is coming to an end. We are putting together our favorites of the year. We would love to hear from you. This is the week to do it. Tell us, what was your favorite movie of 2021? What is your
It can't be COVID.
COVID, the movie. There will be. They'll make movies out of COVID.
They already have. There was a love story about the couple going through the divorce. Yes. It was from a few weeks ago. And somebody wrote and then got the movie out before, you know, COVID's over, Steve.
Yeah. Let's enjoy our pandemic together. Your favorite movies of 2021, your favorite book of 2021, and your favorite story. What's been happening other than COVID? What's been your favorite part of 2021? We would love to hear from you.
J. Jonah Jameson outed me. I mean, the world knows I'm Spider-Man, Steve.
Bring me pictures of Spider-Man and drum faster. No, slow down. You're rushing. Sorry, J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons is a national treasure. I don't know, Peter. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
You better come back with pictures of Spider-Man. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
He outed himself. We'll see you in the future.